I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Tuesday.
Yes, sir.
Tuesday afternoon, ready to do some podcasting. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, all the places that you listen to podcasts. Check us out. We're there. And today we have a very special guest. She's been on the show with us before. I interviewed her for Medium Talk. She reviewed Game of Thrones with us last year.
Yes.
During the season, no one wants to talk about it anymore. It's our girl, Jamel Hill. What's going on, Jamel?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Great. Good. Thank you for coming through. We appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you all. I forgot that we did experience that Game of Thrones mm-hmm. moment. Tragedy together. but it was worth it though, because I felt like a lot of people who were Game of Thrones fans who have been in, you know, since day one had a lot more reason to be upset about the final season than I did, because I came in just 2 months before. Like, I couldn't imagine having to wait all that time and then to be left with that. I would really feel, you know,
I'm glad. Maybe it's just I have a happy disposition overall, but
me too.
Like, stuff really rarely bothers me, especially fictional stuff. So it, like, for me, I was kind of enjoying it because you got to binge it. But for us that have watched it over the years, my main issue with Game of Thrones the whole time was it was a little too slow. It's a little too, it was a little too much like, we walking over here, we about to be walking for 4 episodes.
Yes.
We not getting that to the end of the season. I'm like, nah, man, like, hop on a dragon, let's fucking fast forward this shit. So, you know, for me, it wasn't that bad, but man, boy, that was online, it was a bad experience. So, but how have you been doing in the Rona, man? I know, you know, like, you are a mover and shaker. I feel like every time I look up, Jamel's doing something else. I don't know if you're like a workaholic or what, but it's like you always got something popping. And then the Rona is kind of this thing where it's like, everyone sit down for a second. So
don't move.
Yeah, how you been managing?
Actually, I just have been busier than ever. And it feels weird to say because a lot of people right now have had their work cut back. They might be laid off. So it's like, I don't want people to misinterpret it. Like, I'm bragging about like all the work that I have to do, nor do I want them to think that I'm being ungrateful for all the work that I have to do. But, it has been pretty busy. You know, I started a whole nother podcast during the pandemic. I'm co-hosting a podcast with Van Lathan called Way Down in the Hole, which is a rewatch pod about The Wire. I turned in my manuscript for my memoir.
Wow.
I'm going to probably have another really big announcement tomorrow. That, I mean, I guess I can just break the news to y'all.
Yeah, the Black Guy Who Tips exclusive.
Yes, the exclusive. So, I think the announcement is hitting tomorrow that, me, Carrie Champion, and I have a television show.
What? Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah. So. Yeah, well, thank you. So it's a lot that's happening because in the content world, that world really hasn't slowed down.
Right.
And especially now that people are at home and they have all this, you know, they have a little bit more time depending on your situation, because people with kids are like, time? Bullshit, I ain't got time, right? there's an increasing, just huge demand for content of all varieties. And so, from that standpoint, I'm positioned really, really well with some of the things that I'm doing. So, it's been nonstop. And of course, I decided not to make it easy on myself. My husband and I moved into a new house. So I moved during the pandemic.
Wow.
It's just like a lot going on.
Man, is that stressful having people like, I mean, I'm assuming at this level, you had to have people move your stuff. So is it stressful having people up in your crib, breathing the Rona all everywhere?
Well, because not only did we have the movers, though we packed everything ourselves. See, I was used to them corporate moves. Like, I'm lazy, you know what I'm saying? Like, corporate moves, they come in, they, you know, they pack up everything, they do they do pretty much everything. You don't have to do anything but watch them. But obviously with the virus, and my husband being like, I'm gonna need you not to be this sadity. We packed all our own stuff, and they just literally just had to drop the stuff kind of in the right room, and then they were out. Wow. We unpacked everything and all that. So I wasn't really, really tripping about that. But, you know, because we're moving into a new house, we want to customize it to what we like. So we've had some kind of work being done on this house, like every day. You know, we've had a couple walls painted. We had the kitchen retiled. So that is, it's like the house, we have not begun to settle in. All the furniture isn't here. You know, we're in a temporary bed. Our real bed will get here soon. We finally got some of our, all of our outdoor furniture, but some of that has to be assembled. So it's like, you know, this house right now is a little bit in chaos, because of not really necessarily the pandemic. It's because it's a new house and it's in chaos, you know.
With all the things going on, how have you adjusted with marriage life? You know, because being married, like, that's a big personal change in anybody's life at any age.
And the Rona is testing people's marriages, man. I see it every day, somebody breaking up. So it's real.
Yeah, because especially since we're now 7 months in, right? So we got married last November. We went on a honeymoon for a month. So obviously on the honeymoon, we were together every single day. But it's a big difference between being in a honeymoon and waking up in the Maldives versus waking up and having, you know, like normal, you know, kind of things to do. Like who went to the grocery store, who doing, like those are two different, you know, environments. And so I think the pandemic, I mean, it hasn't, you know, we haven't really gotten on our nerves, maybe like a couple little times, but it's been pretty great. I mean, we've been able to obviously spend a lot of time together. But the other thing is because of my work schedule and the stuff that I'm doing, it is not unusual, or it happens most days of, you know, in the week, where I will go into our office and I'll be in there for like 7 hours. Mm-hmm. And especially when I was like finishing, you know, when I was finishing, this manuscript, like I was, you know, writing all night doing that kind of stuff. So there were a lot of days where my husband only saw me at night or when I crawled into bed like late. And he has his own work to do where he's on conference calls constantly. So it definitely most days out of the week feels like a real work day. But in terms of our relationship, you know, I feel like at the beginning when things are, you know, still got that new car shine on everything, it's probably a pretty good time to be stuck in a pandemic with somebody you just recently married.
Honestly, it's like if it don't work now, it's never going to work, right? Come on. This is like the new, this is the brand new energy. So it's like if you like, I got to see you every day. Oh, this is not what I had in mind for marriage.
Right. And y'all got married prior to the pandemic, but I realized that a lot of people are like, look, we stuck in here looking at each other all day. We might as well do it. But at least you was like, you know what? We made decision prior, so there was no pressures.
Right. That is a good point. And I also, you know, to piggyback off that, I feel really bad for those people who were getting married this summer. You know, and that was almost us. You know, my husband proposed the day after Christmas in 2018. And, you know, given everything, I was like, I think we can get this done inside of a year. Like, let's try to get married in 2019. But some of that depended on where we decided to get married. You know, our three kind of choices were L.A., where we live now, Detroit, where we're both from. I just do a destination wedding. We wound up settling on L.A., frankly, because weather was really important. I did not want a winter wedding or a cold wedding. I wanted the weather to be perfect. The weather here in LA in November is pretty much picturesque. But it also afforded us the opportunity to have a wedding that kind of felt like a destination wedding without, you know, anybody having to leave the country. And we wound up getting married at the place, at the resort where we had our first date. And so everything kind of came full circle. So we were able to put everything together and then you know, do it in November. If we had it in Detroit, the date would have been this summer. So I'm really thankful that we were able to go ahead and get married and have an insanely unbelievable wedding. A lot of people don't have fun at their weddings. We kicked it at our wedding. Like, we had a blast at our wedding.
I look like
I was jealous of my guests. I wanted to be there. I was like, we did that.
That's dope. We saw all the pictures. Like, yo, they look like they had so much fun.
That's
like,
what I said.
That's so dope. Yeah. You know, normally you see those weddings, and especially for the bride and groom, so much of it is like, be here, do this, take a picture here, do that, you know? So to see like people just kicking it and being like, oh no, they look refreshed. You know what I mean? That's dope. Mm-hmm. Y'all had a good time.
We had no worries, no stress, everything with the wedding. I was determined to not live up to the stereotype and have a wedding that didn't start on time. Unfortunately, I did. I let the ancestors down. But it wasn't us though. It wasn't right. us because we both went into trying to design a wedding that, you know, not only we would love to attend, but also that, you know, we know our friends. Right, I mean, right. we know they like to drink. They gonna get it in. So we had a pre-wedding reception so that there was it was a cocktail hour before the wedding started. That's nice. I guess we just wanted to make sure people was lit, right?
Right, yeah. I guess so.
Yeah, and they were there.
So, yes, and they were there on time. That was right. the thing. It's like, if you offer them free drinks, they gonna be there.
Right.
So, we did that. Unfortunately, because the drinks were flowing, it took a second to wrangle the guests from
right.
where the pre-cocktail hour to where the actual ceremony was taking place.
Right.
So that's why it didn't start on time. It wasn't us, because we were, you know, I was in the waiting area where I needed to be, because I'd had to descend down some stairs and right. everything. And I was just like telling our wedding planner, I'm like, let's go. I mean, I was like, look, all the people who need to be seated are like, you know, my mom, his parents, my stepfather, my dad, he in place. Okay. That's all we need. If you late, that's on you. You just gotta wait.
You about to walk right? down, walk down while they still getting seated. Like, y'all should have been here. Dun, 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 dun.
Yep. Exactly. I mean, they would have just been held in a separate waiting area and then they just would have had to wait. So, but no, it did start a little bit later than we expected. But other than that, you know, we just had a blast. And because we're both from Detroit, you know, our DJ was from Detroit. Our wedding photographers and videographers were from Detroit. And so a lot of people there were from Detroit and went to Michigan State. So when Detroit was in the building, we was in the building. And I'm pretty sure the Monarch Beach Resort where we got married had never seen this many black people in their lives. In one place. So.
Now that's dope, man. And then like y'all barely beat the Rona, cause like right around then is when it started really popping off, but on the low, like we didn't know yet.
Yeah, nobody knew.
Yeah, so, people didn't know.
Yeah. Yep. So y'all like lucked out. Y'all missed that. You know what I mean? Then you get back, you get your crib, all that stuff situated. Like, it's real fortunate timing, man. And then within that, you just never stop working. What's the TV show going to be about with Carrie Champion?
So the show, which will be on Vice Network, is, you know, it's not a sports show. Mm-hmm. You know, we will talk about some sports, but we're going to talk about everything, politics, sports, news, pop culture. And people can probably, who follow us on social media, can probably tell this, but maybe the audience that was only acquainted with us through ESPN maybe didn't know that Carrie and I both have a lot of range. I mean, right. we can, you know, Carrie was a hardcore news reporter before she went to the Tennis Channel, then from Tennis Channel to ESPN. You know, I spent about a decade in newspapers before I got to ESPN. So we've both mm-hmm. been in a position where we've been able to cover a lot of things. And I think sports is a really good jumping off point to discuss other issues, despite this insistence that politics and sports and racial issues and sports
right.
aren't supposed to be mad together. So anyway, you know, it'll be our opportunity to kind of show that range that we have. And of course, we're going to have some fun. We got some goofy things that we're planning. And I think people, you know, will really enjoy it. And we are, you know, we not only feel blessed and fortunate, but we're also, you know, in a position to be two black women leading a show with their opinion. And that right. is something that people have not seen,
mm-mm.
you know, so we hope
rare.
This will be a touching off point for other people to receive these kind of opportunities that have deserved them.
Yeah. It's so rare to see like anything with two black women as opinion
United.
People like
yes.
to get to analyze whatever. Even if it was just sports, it would still be like, it would still be
right.
something we never saw, but it's dope that like, could you ever see yourself going back to just, that sports format? Because I it's almost like, you're out of this box and now you can talk and do about say anything almost, you know what I mean? Like, I could, like, would it feel confining almost to go back to just something that was strictly sports?
You know, somebody asked me recently, even more pinpoint question, like if I would ever think about going back to ESPN. Mm. The thing is, I mean, of course you can never say never and you never know, but the amount of creative freedom, autonomy that I have, the fact that my life is devoid of email chains okay, and everything else, it's just kind of, I just really don't know if I fit into that culture anymore. Mm. And, you know, with ESPN in particular, it would be hard because, you know, when I left, even though we did leave on amicable terms, it was like, I didn't leave there with, you know, hating them or anything.
Right.
But the reality was that a trust had been broken. Mm. And hey, they can argue from their side, I broke their trust or whatever, but they certainly broke mine. And so it would be really hard for me to recreate a desire to be there and to get over the fact that that particular trust was broken. So, I mean, to your point, like all of these entities are kind of similar.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the reasons we went, you know, and decided on Vice is because they just align. You know, Vice is a very independent, they're very, you know, aggressive with how they pursue journalism. I mean, they do a lot of exceptional things. And from a brand alignment standpoint, it just felt really perfect. And so I know because for both of us, that part was important. It was the autonomy was important, the creative control and the ownership. I mean, we're going to be EPing these shows. We're both going to be executive producers of this show. And it's going to involve our production companies. So it's like, you know, that's the kind of setup that you want.
Right.
And it would be hard to give that up to go back to being at a you know, a big network.
Yeah. And then, like, even seeing, because I listened to both of your episodes of, I think it's All the Smoke podcast with Matt Barnes and Stack Jack. And that's what struck me about both of y'all was like, oh man, they're so much bigger than sports. It's almost like it's confining to just talk sports. Not that there's any, I love sports. And the thing is, if people don't recognize that sports touches everything and everything touches sports, because sports essentially is made of people and people experience all this stuff. Like, you know, and I feel like it was kind of like prophetic or just very, like you kind of foretold everything when, the whole Donald Trump tweet controversy popped off, because if you look at it now, even the athletes talking about it, the coaches is talking about it, the owners is into it. Like, you can't even avoid talking about politics at this point. It's almost more politics than anything else. Even if you just talk about coronavirus, you talking about politics.
Right.
Can we play basketball again? Well, this nigga fucked up the coronavirus, so no.
But you know what? Like everything else, a black woman before her time.
Right. Ahead of the time.
No, you're right, because now it's amazing how what should be questions of just morality have become political. I mean, the fact that I'm wearing a mask to protect yourself from a virus that could turn deadly is now considered to be a political statement. It's just,
right.
It's so American because it's so mind-numbingly stupid. And it's just like, wow, we've really done that. And, you know, because people are trying to, you know, weaponize this virus to their own advantage, it's like, hey, man, we really should have let the science and the medical experts lead on this. We didn't, and we're paying the price. And
I'm jealous.
You brought up the
embassy. Like, I keep,
really?
I keep looking at TV and on these other countries, they got games and shit.
Oh,
I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I feel like a little kid, you know, when you on punishment, you look out the window, your friends out there playing ball or whatever, and you just like, damn, I really should have did that homework.
Or even worse, when you were confined to the porch. Like, I feel we confide to the porch and like everybody on the block playing and we just like,
looking through the screen door.
Can't go.
Like, looking,
looking
at the screen door like this, like, man. These niggas playing dodgeball. This is crazy.
Why am I still on punishment? I don't even know.
Oh my God.
Right? Exactly. When you be on it so long, you like, damn, I don't even know why I'm on punishment. I just know that I'm on them. I mean, it is really, it's pretty, historically, these moments, this year in particular, would just be looked at like so shamefully because, like, America didn't even come up with a competent, comprehensive plan to combat this virus. You could say maybe individual states did on some level, but we never came up with a comprehensive national plan. Our default was to go, you know what? Fuck it, we just tired. Like, all right, let's just go out the house. Let's go outside anyway. It's like, that's not a plan. A plan is not like we just gonna open up just cause. It's like, we need a plan, people.
That's just what
I love how people have these imaginary dates of when things are over. I'm sorry, coronavirus is like, excuse me, did I say it was over? No, the virus did not say it was over.
No.
We just checked out. We was just like, you know what? fuck it. We done.
If we did our
coronavirus policy, to quote the great urban philosopher Smokey, if we get dealt with, we get dealt with. That's our policy.
Yes. We were basically like a New Year's resolution. You know how you be like, I'm going to the gym, I'm gonna eat right, I'm gonna make sure I get to bed on time, and then at some point you just be like, man, who cares about going to bed on time?
Like, pack me them cookies, fuck it.
I can miss the gym a couple of days.
I ain't trying to follow the rules no more.
I don't know who, it was like the other day I bought, we went shopping, and there was like these soups that's over by like the sandwich part of Publix. And so I was like, I'm gonna get some soups. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't have to order out. I don't have to cook nothing messed up. I'm just heat up some soup next time I'm hungry. And so I was picking out these soups, and one of them was turkey, sausage, kale, and something. And I got, Karen, so Karen was making like sandwich. She was like, you want me to heat you up some soup? I was like, oh yeah, thank you. I'm gonna edit this show. You hook, heat up the soup. Thank you. I appreciate you, baby. She comes and brings the soup, and I'm eating it, and I took like one or two spoonfuls. I was like, what the fuck is this? And I looked, and it was that turkey sausage, kale, whatever. And I said, who did I think I was 2 days ago when I bought this? Like, I don't know why I thought.
Who did I think I was?
Like, that's on me. That's not even on Publix. I'm not even going to call their soup nasty. I know I don't like chicken, turkey sausage, and kale. I knew that before I bought that. So that's how I feel like America was with the coronavirus. We was just basically like, who did we think we were? We was going to wear a mask and listen to scientists? Yeah. I don't think so. Let's go outside.
Right. Exactly. And I saw this story about the New York Times story about how the European Union is considering banning Americans from coming to their countries. I was like, please do this. Yes. Like, because we need to be shamed in every possible way. Mm-hmm. These other countries, Mexico, all of them, ban us from coming there because we deserve it. We deserve all this shit.
Like, what if this is how Trump get that wall built in Mexico? They'd be like, you know what? We are going to build your wall because y'all are no longer welcome. Like, we going to be trying to climb the wall. Like, no, let us in. Mm-hmm. No, you stay. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. How about y'all said
y'all wanted to be away from us, so here you go.
What about the podcast? Jemele Hill is Unbothered on Spotify. You guys can check it out. I listen to it. You've had some dope guests.
Yes.
What, like, is the Rona making it easier to get these guests, harder to get these guests? Like, how's that going?
I think it makes it, I want to say, slightly easier. A lot of the guests that I'll be rolling out in season two were people who already confirmed pre-Rona. Mm. And it had to be put off. But then there's been some new guests that have emerged that are really... You know, I don't know if I would have had the same opportunity to get them if not for this virus. Like today I taped the podcast with Ellen Pompeo, who is amazing. Wow. And I don't know if that would have been possible given what her schedule usually is like to get her during this time. So from that standpoint, it's been good. And it's just, I suspect this will be a reality for a lot of people who are working from home, is that once you start getting into the rhythm and flow of doing these things, then you kind of, it's going to allow you to I think, have a more efficient operation. Like, I was paying hella fees to have the podcast in studio. Mm-hmm. And I had never, like, I didn't do phoners. Everybody came in studio. And now that we've been forced at home, like, I don't think I'm going back to the studio. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really no reason to. Like, you guys have always done it this way. So you are way more accustomed to it. I've never done podcasting this way, and so I'm just like, you know what, this might be really the look for 2020 and beyond. I mean, it's as long as the guests continue to be comfortable with it, as long as the bookings still remain what they are, I don't really see a reason for me to go back doing it the way I was doing it before.
And a lot of the technology has come along a long way since we started. Cause we used to be like holding up speakers to the microphone type shit. And so like now you can like, you can like see somebody's face. You can kind of record like go live with it. You can do so many things with it.
And it got to be more convenient. Now you don't have to get up and like drive out and, time it. The guest doesn't have to get their schedule together. So I know it has to be a lot more convenient.
Yeah. What about?
Yeah, it's definitely more convenient. Although I do wonder, you know, I got a closet full of clothes, and yet I've rotated probably 4 pair of jogging pants.
Right.
I'm like, when is the next time I'm gonna actually dress up and go somewhere? I think it's an excellent day, or not. Like, I consider dressing up now, putting on a bra.
Right.
Like, if I put on a bra, I'm just like, I'm clearly going somewhere.
Right.
Which, you know what I'm saying? This has been real good for women everywhere, because we've been living our best braless lives for like the last 4 months.
Yes. And yoga pants and jogging pants.
Jogging pants. You see what I'm saying? I'm like, shit, I'm gonna have to, I mean, I got all this Ted Baker and this other bullshit in my closet. I'm like, nah, I'm gonna need to get some tracksuit.
And also as a husband, I love it, because it's just like, you know, unless, like, if you wake up and your girl got on the bra, it's like, wait, what's the plan? What are you leaving me? Are you going somewhere? Like, what did I do? Did I do something? Because I don't, you know, there's no need for all that in this house. There's no pretenses, okay? No. Like, you get in the bed and she got on the clothes. It's like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, although I do have to mess with the guys a little bit, because, like, women, we had a reason to look a little raggedy during the pandemic, because, like, you know, we need somebody else generally to perform another service for us to look our best. So we need, you know, you need somebody to do your nails, and, you know, you could maybe get by, but generally speaking, you need that. Somebody do your hair, and other maintenance things that we had to do. Y'all motherfuckers was like, we just give up. And I'm like, but you just got the old hair. Like, I don't understand. Like, all y'all had beards. I'm like, I mean, I know you've always had a beard, so it's a little different, but the man was just like, I'm just letting it go. I'm like, you don't even have to do that much.
That's
like, I don't get it.
The benefit of giving up the fight over hair early and going bald and cutting it myself is that I can maintain my same image, but my homies, when I, you know, Zooming with them, when I'm Skyping with them, whatever, it's rough out there, man. They were going, they had the ritual going to the barbershop, and you could tell they not going no more, which I'm always happy. I actually don't like when I see my homies and they got the fresh lineup. I'm like, what you do to get that lineup, bro? You ain't, you social distancing? Everything good? You not risking it all for the edge up, cause you gonna be in the house anyway. Ain't no events. You supposed to be in the house. You just wanna look nice on Facebook? Nah, like, go ahead and let it be rough. But you're right, though. It is. Men have definitely let it go.
Y'all just was like, yeah, we give up. And I'm like, I'm like, oh, my God, we give up for it. Like, I mean, and I know the guys who have bald heads who just gave up. And I'm like, but you can cut your own hair.
You can cut your own, right.
And they're just like, ah. Yeah, I think it is what you said. I think they do kind of just miss that interaction at the barbershop. But that's not going to be the same now, because, you know, now at most barbershops, you can't wait inside anymore.
Right. Yeah, you can't even have nobody come in to sell bootlegs. You can't have that one person that say this all a conspiracy from the 5G towers, because you know he not paying for no haircuts. He just like to come in and talk. He can't come in there no more. So
and
it's a solemn experience. It's like a funeral in there.
Come on, and the thing is, Jamel, they were barely holding on anyway,
right?
But yet they had such high standards for us. It just like, here's a little bit of work, and they was like, the fuck? But no, I want you to put on the bra, put on pantyhose, do makeup, do your hair, put your lipstick on, but I am barely going to move home.
Leaving comments on people's Instagram, like, yeah, I wouldn't even mess with her. Like, nigga, that is Kim Kardashian. Shut up. She wouldn't mess with you. Like, stop. But but I also love that it's become the great equalizer, because you know how people used to be like, I put on my hair and my makeup for me. This is not about you. It's not about jobs, men, whatever. This is about how I feel inside. That myth died after like a week. I'm not doing all this shit.
We might have lost that fight.
No, the Fenty can stay in the case, okay? It's no need.
I would have plenty of it.
I'm not wasting Fenty on you.
Come on, you got to be special. I pulled a Fenty out.
That's what a lot of husbands found out. I'm not wasting any of this. The stuff stays in the closet. So who have been some of your like favorite guests that's coming up for season two? I feel like seasons is the way to go to podcast. We messed up by doing this everyday thing. We should have been like, it's seasons. Season is off. You guys, we'll be back when we feel like it. Like, we should have did that too.
Well, for season two, Regina King was great.
Yes.
But the upcoming guests that I have, I mean, everybody I've had so far has been, you know, really good and unique in their own way. Yvonne Orji had me laughing hysterically for most of it. But, you know, sort of coming up, the podcast I did with Jennifer Lewis is so epic. I mean, we were on Zoom for 2 hours. And when I tell you, Jennifer Lewis is every bit the Jennifer Lewis you think she is. It was amazing. And if you haven't read her book is crazy. Mm. Like, this woman has lived a life. And, you know, and she tells it all. Like, she's incredibly honest and brutally so, you know. And then I had to mess with her a little bit because Jennifer, I know she plays, usually has been cast a lot as somebody's mama, somebody's auntie, yeah, or what, or elder. Jennifer Lewis is a pimp. That's like, y'all don't know. Jennifer Lewis, her jersey in the rafters, she got a yellow jacket on. Y'all don't know. I was like, when I read the book, I was like, Jennifer.
That's why it's called acting, right? Yeah. She be on there acting, I mean, like somebody mama.
She talking about how she done knocked down Gregory Has. I was like, oh, I was ready. I was like, yes. Oh man, she's like Jennifer. She's such a lovely woman, and you know, just really, you know, she's not just lovely, but she's really somebody who has such a strong sense of herself. And yeah, so I really enjoyed, you know, getting to know her and talking to her. And as I mentioned, Ellen Pompeo is going to be on the podcast, and I enjoyed our conversations that we had. The one next week, I went hometown a little bit, Royce the 5'9", my brother from the D. Yeah. So, and he was great. Another person. I've really hit an incredible streak of people who come on the podcast and don't mind being, as per the name, unbothered, and don't mind being completely honest about, you know, situations and things that they face in their lives. So it's been a real learning experience for me. And, you know, I miss being able to talk to people in kind of unfiltered environments, though I guess I shouldn't say I missed it, because I don't know if I ever really had it. Right. So to be able to do that in the environment, the intimate environment that a podcast creates, it's really been amazing.
Yeah, I love Ellen Pompeo too, because I feel like she's definitely coming to the cookout. Like, she's so woke and all that shit. And then, like, even when she fuck up, like, she'll be like, I fucked up. That was on me. Y'all right. Like, so, which is like the hardest level, really, because normally when people fuck up, they be like, actually, if you think about it, y'all fucked up. So, like, I love that. Like,
she does it. She owns her shit. And she, you know, the thing is, and this is something we discussed on the podcast, is that I think people attribute her being so vocal about social justice issues and racial oppression to the fact that she's married to a black man. And I'm not saying that doesn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
But she's been fucking with black folks for a long time.
Right.
And like, this is going back to her growing up. And that's something that we, you know, we talked about. And what I'm most proud of on the podcast, she starts singing Next Lifetime by Erykah Badu. And I just was like, I never saw this coming. And it's such a moment right now.
See, we have a little game that we invented here on the show. On one of the episodes behind the paywall, but it's called, which white people can play spades. So,
ooh,
like, yeah, that list was pretty good. Ooh.
Yeah, that sounds like Ellen Pompeo can probably play spades. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, she be at the spades table.
Yeah, like it's a proximity to blackness type of thing. Like, Travis Kelce can play spades, I'm sure.
Oh, Travis Kelce definitely can play spades.
But like, Drew Brees probably can't play spades. No. You know, so it's not like, you know what I mean? So like, it's not necessarily just whether people even like you or don't like you. Joe Biden can probably play spades. He's been around black people so fucking long. If he hasn't picked up spades, I would be shocked if that man can't play spades. But, you know, Tom Brady probably can't play spades. You know, he's coming around. He's kind of woke and everything right now, but
he ain't quite made it to the spade table yet.
I can't see him at the spades table. I don't think Bernie can play spades.
You know who I think can play spades? I don't know why. I bet you Gronk could play spades. I bet you Gronk.
Yo, Gronk seemed like he could play spades because he wanted them cool with everybody dudes. You know, that guy that's like, what are y'all doing over here? It's like, man, get away from him. You don't know nothing about no damn spades. You're like, let me play. Somebody teach me or some shit. I can see Gronk learning. Yeah.
I bet you Elizabeth Warren could play spades.
I think at this point, I think she had to learn. Like,
yeah.
I don't think she always knew, but by now she know. You know,
right. I think she's the person that will see people playing. They will ask her to play, and she will always decline. They'll be like, "But you can play." She'll be, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. I think your boy, I think our boy Baker Mayfield. I think he know how to play spades.
He can play spades.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think he know how to play spades.
I mean, he did the whole wipe me down dance. Like, he can play spades.
Yeah. That's my
favorite. Now, you know what would be funny is like, you should do the inverse of that game and think of black people
who can't play spades. Oh, see, I'm scared of that game because I don't want them to get offended because, you know, we take it personal. And if I get wrong, somebody might really seek me out. Like this, like white people don't take it as serious as us. But if I get it wrong, I'll be like I remember I made a joke that, Ava DuVernay, every picture I've ever seen with her looks like she's about to run a Boston on somebody in spades. It's not, go look it up. Y'all Google image search Ava DuVernay if y'all listening. Every fucking picture look like she's just like,
looking at her hand, thinking.
You about to get set. You don't even know. You about to get, I'm spade tight over here. But I said that joke on Twitter and then she was like, oh, this seems like a great compliment. Is now the time to admit I don't know how to play spades? And I was like, oh no.
But you know what? But she's also from Los Angeles, so. Like, and I noticed that it is a regional thing.
So they dominoes.
Yeah, dominoes that.
A lot of people, yeah, exactly. A lot of people in LA do not know how to play spades. So she might get a regional pass on that one. Because now, you could have asked the next question, like, do you know how to play dominoes? And if she said yes, it's like, okay.
Yeah, I'm just scared because you know, these niggas be black checking. I'd be scared to get into that with them. They get too serious about that shit. I'm like, is this jokes, y'all? I'm like, no, I can't believe I watched Selma. And I'm like, okay.
They feel like you attacking their black card. I got my stamp. You see my spade badge on my sash? You ain't gonna take it off.
I know.
And how's your,
we do it like freedom papers, yeah.
Right? Yes! We really do. We really, you a spy in the revolution, cause you, is that the test for Black Lives Matter? It's like, alright, so you got, is you going Joker, Deuce, or what are you doing?
Come on.
Like, what are you doing exactly?
Joker, Ace? I mean, because, how are we doing this?
You know, do you play with a kitty? What are you putting in the kitty?
Is Deuces wild? Cause everybody had their own rules, so you gotta ask the questions up front.
We got the feds in here, y'all. Shut it down.
Right. They'd be like, are we playing with a kitty? Like, what's happening here?
So, how's your experience changed on Twitter over the past, couple years? Cause I feel like, you know, you are, obviously, as a black woman in sports, you was already catching hell for every comment anyway. You know, you'd be like, it's Tuesday, it's like, I hate you, die. But now, you know, now it's like you got like politics, you got just Twitter in general and the vibes there, you got like black Twitter and the pressure to always kind of be on or off. Like, how's that affecting you?
I think, you know, like I saw some things today that I was like, do I want this for my life today, or do I want to just like not want this for my life, you know? And I find myself making that decision a lot. It's about conserving my energy.
Right.
And you know, this, like a lot of these things all matter for sure, but there are some conversations. I think I'm a little bit more strategic about whether or not I choose to enter in the conversation, not because I'm worried about any kind of personal cost, but I'm more or less worried about my mental bandwidth. Mm. And I'm like, you know what? I'm with you, but like, I just really don't have the mental space to even get into this deep discussion. Cause nothing, you know how it is in Twitter. Like, shit is just ongoing. You know, people still coming at me for tweets about the police from 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So it's just like, you know, I need to have a bit of a shut off valve when it comes to, you know, certain, you know, topics. And I think I have a deeper appreciation, especially this year, this time, for, you know, silly topics. For example, the one that emerged yesterday. So I did not know people sleeping with the door open or closed was such a polarizing issue.
It is.
Right? Like, I am for sleeping with the door open because I don't have kids. If you have kids, I understand if you sleep with it closed. If you have roommates, I understand if you sleep with it closed. But like, if it's just you or like, you know, my husband and I don't have any kids. It's just, I was like, why are we keeping the door closed? Like, for what? You know what I'm saying? Then I realized black people paranoid as fuck.
Right.
I don't want nobody walking up in here on me. Like, we'll close it and lock it. You be like, ain't nobody in there but you, and you got the alarm on. But I want to hit a burglar before he get to me.
Right. They got to kill the door. They gotta kill the bedroom door before they kill us. That's my warning.
That give me time to run. It's
like, he killing the door. Let me get up. Because of course I sleep closer to the door. Y'all know why. Because I gotta die first. That's the rules.
Come on, that's the disadvantage of being a man. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to die. Okay, Karen's a feminist except for that. I gotta die first. And then Karen's probably escaping out the window or something like that. So that's the rule. That's why you had the door closed. You know, it's the same reason black people lock the front door. you know, and white people don't lock their front door to their house. I mean, unless Jamel, you lock the front door to your house, right? Please.
Okay, all right.
Well, that's how we feel about the bedroom door. That same way.
That's not the same, though. Somebody can walk from outside to come in your house, right? Mm-hmm. In the front door. So that makes all the sense. You in your own house, in the bedroom. And especially because a lot of people, as you just put it, like, have alarms. Like, we have an alarm system. Mm-hmm. We got Ring cameras. We got all of this. So it's like, what kind of super burglar is gonna come up in here?
Listen,
people are like, what if a last line of defense, it needs to be the door. I'm like, if he gets to the door,
I don't know what kind of, maybe Tom Cruise.
I don't know if that reaction time, y'all reaction time ain't what it is. Right, what y'all
thinking?
Right,
okay. Most of us, we don't move that quick no more.
But maybe Tom Cruise from Mission Impossible is breaking in my house and he's suspended from the ceiling and he done got past all the defenses and then he didn't plan for the locked door. He like, oh damn, they got me. You know what I'm saying? Let me get up out of here. I don't know what I was thinking. These black people are ready, you know? And if nothing else, even if I can't save my own life, it gives you a time to throw up like a quick prayer to be like, God, I'm sorry. And then just, you know, then when you get killed, you go to heaven. You know?
Hope you make it.
It's like a 1 second of warning.
Right? That's what I'm saying. I'm like, yo, in all the scenarios, because according to everybody who told me that they keep it closed, the person they imagine they're keeping it closed from is like a Jason Bourne type, like a mixture between Jason Bourne and Freddy Krueger. And I'm like, you realize with this super individual you create in your mind, you ain't gonna have enough time with that door. Okay? Like, it's not happening. So I don't really get why.
I fought our parents. I'm not gonna lie, because this is something that's literally pushed down from generation to generation, because we didn't come up with this out of the blue. So it's one of those things where it went from generation to generation till you're like, a lot of people keep the door shut and locked because of kids. Cause they like, if we ain't here doing our thing, we want privacy. So we don't want you just busting up in here. For a lot of people with children, your bedroom, in my opinion, your bedroom should be a sanctuary. The kids got the rest of house, the whole entire house.
We don't have kids, and you still are very passionate about locking the door to the bedroom.
It.
So that's not
wait,
really.
Okay, hold on. So hold you up. Not only close the bedroom door, you lock it.
Oh, we lock it. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
No.
Mm-hmm. I lock it.
I mean, you know what it is? It's the title of every episode of season one of Black as Fuck, because of slavery. I bet that's what it is.
You know what?
Because we never got to have nothing.
They didn't have no doors.
Right. They didn't have no doors. They definitely ain't have no locks.
I got a door, so I'm going to lock it.
Right. So black people probably been in there like, this is my space and I'm locking it. And what do you do when your children is bad? Take the door off the hook. Exactly. You take the door off the hinge and then you be like, you ain't got no door.
You ain't got no privacy.
Doors is a matter of black freedom.
Doors is a luxury.
Doors is how we knew our lives
mattered. Particularly if they paying rent.
Right. That's how we found out.
Because slaves had the original open concept plan.
We not into it.
We are liberated.
We not into it, okay? Because white people see open doors, they be like, that's mine, and that's mine. And I'll take some of this. It's like, no, we got to lock the door.
You got to ask permission now.
None of this is yours. So we just went and built extra doors to lock more doors in our houses. I get it. I'm now on board with this. Black Lives Matter, holler at me.
Are you also feeling that way about closets, though? Like, do you must the closet door? Because people were going down a deep well when this conversation brought up, like, they need their closet door closed. They need all the doors in the house closed. I'm like, from who?
Okay. Karen closes the closet door and the bathroom door. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And the bathroom door?
Yes. Even when we're, like, asleep. I don't know why. I definitely don't like the bathroom door closed, because, like, if I get up in the middle of the night, I'm trying to take the least of brain energy to
maybe
take a leak.
Maybe it's something I need to break, but I'm like, and I know ain't nobody getting in the closet because there's no entry there, but, you know, the bathroom got a window, so maybe this Jason Bourne can sneak through the window. I don't know.
Now, I understand closing the closet, though, because technically, that we're AC cooling that closet door, and we don't need all that. They don't need no AC up there with the coats.
If he walked through the wall and get in there, he gonna get a good sweat.
I'm not. Well, see, you don't want to worry about some ghost person coming through the wall. I'm not worried about that. I'm just saying that makes sense. I'm not gonna argue with you about closing closet door. Save us some AC. But the bathroom door, if you gotta take a leak in the middle of the night, the last thing you want to do is turn your brain on and open up the door, because once your brain is up, then you up, and now you can't just go back to sleep. You want to take the least amount of brain effort to leak, to use the bathroom at night. So I like that door being open.
And see, Jamel, this is why now the toilet is actually a disco. I got one of them lights that go up underneath the toilet that goes like 14 different colors.
Yeah. Okay. So you got like the super night light up in there.
Yes. Right. So you don't have to turn on a light. Cause I would go to the bathroom in the dark. I was like, I'm not waking up.
But if you do, if you leave the door open, sometimes it will pick up stuff outside the bathroom. So maybe that's a good reason to close it. I don't know. This is a complicated topic that we will have to come back to again.
I see. Black people indoors, we got issues.
Okay.
Black we do. I admit that's me. I got issues.
Well, I feel like the silly stuff for Twitter is like where the best stuff is most of the time. Sometimes I think we'll get serious on Twitter and then, or something bad happens, and then like collectively Black Twitter spends a lot of time like explaining shit to white people. And so then it's like, you know, it's like work almost. Like, let me log in and tell these motherfuckers why you can't be killing them. So I do like when they do silly stuff like that and when people go back and forth about jokes and building all stuff. So maybe I'll introduce which white people could play spades to Black Twitter. And
dude, that's phenomenal conversation. Phenomenal.
See what happens over there. but yeah, so speaking of sports, okay. Sports is coming back everywhere except America, obviously. What you think about all these like plans people was making with the Rona just sitting out there like waiting on them with the like Birdman in the window?
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting that our default position is acting as if Rona gave up. I'm like, Rona was just like, I'm still up in VIP, whether y'all let me in or not. Like, I got a couple bottles. I got some girls. Like, Rona is still thriving up in VIP.
The party's still over here. I don't care if y'all cut the lights off and left the room. We still got the party going.
And VIP all drinks on me.
Come on.
Wipe yourself down. No. Wipe yourself down.
Yeah. I'm not going to wipe myself down. You better.
And so I understand that sports is an entire economy. And games not being played is not just about the players not getting paid. It's about staff, coaches, like an entire economy of personnel. And yet it doesn't feel right that they're back. And even though I very much understand the reasons why they feel the need to be back, mostly because like I've seen the NBA protocols. It looks like some shit from Minority Report. I'm sure that they will. It's just like, y'all got rings. Y'all got all this. Y'all try to, you know, surveil people's movements, essentially. But you know, look, nature and human beings tell you, and they rich, they ain't following them damn rules.
Come on.
Like, it's not happening. It's not
They gonna figure a way out of this. They gonna have, you gonna walk in somebody's room and like, LeBron gonna have on 10 rings and the teammates gonna be gone. They gonna be like, we couldn't track them. They at the club. Like, something gonna happen.
Yeah, and me and Roger already thought about this. We were saying that the groupies are gonna be in full force.
Right.
You know they're gonna be at Disney World. So
right. They're gonna infiltrate.
Our joke was they're gonna be under the Mickey Mouse costumes. Mm-hmm. They're gonna walk in there. The whole park is gonna be women.
Yep.
They look like Instagram models. And ain't nobody gonna know what happened.
The bellhop gonna be fine.
Like, oh, they're gonna be on full force.
Like, why is the bellhop in here so beautiful? What is happening with this Disney resort? It's no way you're gonna keep them out. They are like person that's gonna sneak into your house and open up the door. That's how crafty
they
are.
Now they will find a way to get in if ain't nobody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now that is very true. But you know, realize like it doesn't really even have to be groupies. I mean, it's gonna be some side chicks that's gonna be able that's gonna be in position.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about all the stuff that you're quarantining some people and completely, you're talking about, you know, having barbers on deck, mm-hmm. being away from their families or their families coming in at some point. Like, it's a lot that goes to it. And the other thing is, I'm wondering how people will react when a major star gets COVID. I mean, that was no a shade at Rudy Gobert, because I know and Donovan Mitchell, obviously, who are two named players, but that was when everything shut down.
Right.
Are we okay as the public watching a game and they just announce, tonight Kawhi Leonard is out indefinitely with COVID.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to influence the competition. And that matter, like, how are we going to even look at whoever is the champion this year.
Right.
They're going to put so many asterisks next to this title that it's just, and that doesn't mean the season isn't worth playing, but it's just a lot to consider. With football, I just don't really even see why the NFL is pretending like they're going to start on time. Or college football either, where they're willing to sacrifice, you know, students and make them guinea pigs to see what will happen. I mean, you're talking, and especially at that age, man, you're talking about 50, 60 young people who we see young people been out here wilding from the beginning. You know, they ain't been distancing. So it's just like, look, it's only a matter of time before COVID ravages a team. I mean, you have players now, we're finding out from NFL teams, there's several players that have tested positive before they even get to camp.
Yes.
So I'm just like, what, in what environment, like, how do you see this not leading to, you know, future, you know, like, not just positive tests, but like, it's just too much personnel needed for an NFL team.
You would think that the coaches would be scared because they the old people.
Right, they the one in the range.
I'd be like if I was a college coach right now, I'd be like, hell no, we ain't playing, man. Like, you know how rich I am? I can't spend this money when I'm dead. They can wait.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you're also, you're right. You're dealing with a more vulnerable population, and not just head coaches, like a lot of assistants ain't spring chickens either.
Come on.
And you bringing in other, you know, staff or whatever. I'm just like, this to me has all the makings of a nightmare.
Yeah, I just can't believe. And like, I do get why, you know, if you worry about your money, you know, CBAs and stuff like that. Like, I get why players have that profit motive and all that stuff, why the owners have a profit motive, but I don't know, this just seemed like one where everybody need to chill out, you know. But I can't lie though, I guess I'm a hypocrite because I will absolutely watch this shit. Like, that is nothing.
Oh
on
yeah,
TV.
I mean, I don't think that's any question. Most people are gonna watch it. I mean, and they're gonna get big ratings too.
Yeah, ain't nothing on TV.
I'm above it, but it's gonna be a bit of an uncomfortable experience.
Ever since Insecure ended, it's nothing else to do. Okay,
nothing else.
Somebody need to be playing every Sunday. Okay, we are out of Michael Jordan documentary. We are out. I never cared about Lance Armstrong. You know, Bruce Lee was dope. That was only one show. Like, we out of stuff. Okay, it's time for some people. I'll watch these niggas play 2-on-2. I will do it. Okay, don't sleep. So I hate to be part of the problem, but I feel like I'm part of the problem right now. So
you might be part of the problem, but it's okay. We all are complicit for sure.
Yeah.
We're all complicit.
Oh man. Well, we also have some games that we play here, and we love play some games with us, okay? We have songs too for the games. We have theme songs.
The best singers, so just let you know that up front.
The first game is a little game we like, a little ditty we like to call Fucking with Black People.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's Fucking with Black People. The game that goes all around the globe and finds different articles that make us feel fucked with as black people. And we assign point scores from 0 to 100 at intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's see who's fucking with us today. A high school principal has been investigated over racist Facebook rant. The New York City Department of Education has launched an investigation into a troubling Facebook post penned by an employee of Staten Island High School. What? Staten Island?
Gasp. Pretends to be shocked. Right.
Da, da, da. Deborah Morse Cunningham, who serves as the assistant principal of the New Dorp High School, is still at work despite sharing a lengthy status on update in which she pondered the nature of privilege by referring to a number of racial stereotypes. What is privilege? Morse Cunningham asked in the post, which has now been deleted. It's never a good sign when the post has been deleted. Very rarely is that something you would stand behind. Privilege is wearing $200 sneakers when you never had a job. Privilege is wearing $300 Beats headphones while living on public assistance. Privilege is living in public subsidized housing where you don't have a water bill, where rising property taxes and rents and energy costs have absolutely no effect on the amount of food you can put on your table. Privilege is having as many children as you want, regardless of your employment status, and be able to send them off to daycare or a school you don't pay for. According to Staten Island Live, Morse Cunningham's Facebook status was spotted by a parent who then started a change.org petition.
Come on through, parent!
Listen.
You was not gonna teach my kid. No, 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 ma'am.
Here's what, I don't think racism has changed in the last 2 or 3 months, but what has absolutely changed is us having the time.
Mm-hmm. Right, because we got it now.
Yes, you ain't lying.
People,
we definitely have the time now.
Like, I feel like people was always like being in the streets and messing with black people and stuff. Like, oh, I hate you niggers or whatever. But it was like, I gotta get to work. I don't got time. I'm late already. I waited on that Popeyes. I shouldn't have did that. I got a meeting, and then you just dip. But now black people are stopping. Like, hold on, let me get my phone out. No, now say that again. What was I? Let me get your whole face. Okay, all right. Black Twitter, do your thing. Find where she lives. According to Staten Island Live, Deborah Morse Cunningham, a longtime educator and assistant principal at New Dorp High School in South Shore of Staten Island, has decided to use her platform and social media presence to post anti-black messaging during this time. She recently posted a rant to her public Facebook page detailing vicious stereotypes and racial profiling directed at the black community. As someone responsible for the tutelage of our youth, this is especially troubling and problematic rhetoric, to say the least. Oh, she messed with the wrong one. Mm. She messed with one of the woke ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what else? Because we do have the time, what you're finding out. I mean, we all suspected this. We knew this to be the case. As in black people, we didn't do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what more people are finding out and discovering is that your faves are problematic. Like, everybody has, you know, we talk about teachers and, you know, they are generally, they're making a positive contribution to society, but they're in, much like the police, they're in that untouchable group of people you can never criticize. Because if you ever criticize a teacher, you know, it's like, then you anti-teacher, then you, you know, pro your kids being ignorant as fuck. Like, this, they want to attach all this other stuff to it, but they don't understand how dangerous it is when people like the white supremacists you just, read from her rhetoric, like how dangerous it is when those people are in a position to influence your kids or influence your life. Right. And there's been a lot of teachers who've been outed for being, you know, racist and, and all that kind of stuff. And it's more shameful when it's a teacher because they write in front of books. Like, what y'all been reading? Like, y'all don't have an excuse for not having the information.
And it's even,
you actually have it, and you still a racist.
And it's even scarier because prison and schools are so tied now. Mm-hmm. Like, a kid hits the wrong path, you can literally mess that kid up for life. You can set them on a path from, like, education to, like, prison, just like that. By, like, detention, suspensions, police are in the school, so you start calling them for little, you know, infractions here and there, and who you make the decision to call the police on and who you don't can be influenced by your racial animus towards one race and not the other. So, like, absolutely, like, she could have messed up so many kids, and people been giving her the benefit of the doubt, like, those kids must be bad or whatever, and you find out, like, maybe Jamario is telling the truth and the principal is racist, you know?
I appreciate that she hit all of the bigoted, she had a perfect score on the bigoted stereotypes bingo card.
Yes,
like, perfect.
All squares.
When she finished
$300 beats, like, who the fuck got $300 beats? Like, do beats cost $300? Am I tripping? Like, I did not know they got $300 beats. Like,
I also like that.
She would fail at Prices Right.
Also, yes. You know that means when she sees black, she thinks poor. So even if it was like a black kid from suburbs with some beats that his parents got him for his great grades or whatever the reason is, you know, her first mind is like, a broke Negro and some beats. This is the problem with the people right here.
You think she feel proud of herself that she sent that out? She said, bingo.
Yeah.
What my prize?
Yeah. She hit
that, you ain't lying. That was definitely one of those where she laid that outfit out the night before school.
Yes, like, she did.
Kill him with this. Kill him with this. And it was like, what you gonna kill is the unemployment law.
Oh, man. So, yeah, teachers and staff have, okay, so they released a statement. You know, they always have to do the, we looking into it, and the racism has no place, and blah, blah, blah. Monday, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said he had not seen the post, but was very concerned. No one in a position of authority should use racially insensitive language, especially someone who's an educator and kids look up to, he stated.
Yeah, now I think she'll be able to hide behind this because she never said black. She only used stereotypes.
You think that, you think ultimately she'll be able to get away with it?
I think she's gonna be fine. Now that doesn't help the score in fucking with black people, but I think she'll keep her job because she can be like, I was just talking about kids in general. She can even flip it on you. Why would you think I was meaning black? So what are you trying to say?
Everybody got the words now.
Only black people wear Beats headphones. Now you should look at yourself. Like, I think she can pull that off. So 0 to 100, Karen, how much do you feel fucked with at intervals of 25?
100, but that's if she's smart enough, because sometimes some of them ain't smart enough and they'll double down.
Okay, all right, Jamel, how do you feel?
You know what? I'm gonna go with a lower score. I think I only feel fucked with about like a 75.
Okay.
You know, because one, I need her to update her game. Like, that's some old shit. Like, that's some stereotypes from the 80s. Like, she just updated the technology because she said beats and shoes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we kind of, look, I'm old enough to remember Ronald Reagan and the Welfare Queen.
Right.
Okay. I mean, it's like, yeah. So it was no originality in it where I could give her a little bit more credit for fucking with
me. She pulled like a deaf comedy jam, like, you know, black people drive like this, white people drive like this.
Right.
You know, that, like the old school racism. I'm gonna give her 100 for the throwback classic racism, you know. The really reason I'm giving her 100 is because I absolutely do not expect her to lose her job. I really don't. I don't think nothing gonna happen to her. And that's what made me mad, cause now the kids gotta go to school knowing she racist. Like, they're like, you racist as hell. Are you still, how you still here? Like, my life is in your hands. So, alright, let's go to
those
the next
kids
one.
Need to be petty. If I were them, I would all, somebody, you know what? Somebody out there should start a crowdfunding campaign that they all get beat and
yes.
walk into them with class.
Yes,
and walk into her classroom. Everybody got on a pair of beats right. and see what she say.
And some Jordans,
right? She gonna melt.
And some Jordans.
She gonna melt down like the chancellor of a college at the end of one of them old school frat movies. You know, they'd be like, you know, oh!
You brokey.
Yeah.
You
brokey. Right. What are you doing? Headphones. I hate beats. All right, let's go to the next one. Family of the woman who portrays Aunt Jemima. Ask Quaker Oats to reconsider their rebrand. Now, yesterday on our cookout invitation segment, we did let Quaker Oats and Conagra, I can't remember everybody else, but we let all the
Mrs.
brands,
Butterworth,
yeah, all the brands,
oh, okay.
that took,
okay.
yeah, we let them come to the cookout because, you know, they was okay. like, black people don't like this. But then today, we find out that apparently the family of the woman who was the model for Aunt Jemima are upset because they're like, Lillian Richard is her name. She considered a hero in her hometown of Hawkins, Texas, represented the Aunt Jemima brand for 23 years. A career she has made an honest living out of, as well as one her family is proud of. Richard was the face of Aunt Jemima from 1925 to 1940, a time very few black women even had job opportunities. And they said, her family, we don't want that history to be erased, said Vera Harris. We could ask that you reconsider just wiping that away. I wish we would take a breath and not just get rid of everything, because good or bad, it's our history. Removing that wipes away a part of me, a part of each of us.
What? I'm like, a song is like, now it's tough because you never want to tell somebody's family how to feel about something, but I got questions. I'm like, so you think it's a positive that they considered her a befuddled, diminished mammy? Like, that's a good thing because she made a living off of it. I mean, you know, if we weren't talking about Aunt Jemima, and you replaced it with what we've been saying, the conversation we've been having about the Confederate statues, it would sound literally the same.
Oh yeah, she's like, this is heritage. Not hate, yep. Y'all.
Heritage, not hate.
All right, so 0 to 100, Karen.
Damn, I really feel fucked with on that one.
I'm going to give it a 50. My thing is that they make so much money, they probably could just give them a lump sum of money, mm-hmm. and be like, okay, we understand, you know, your connection, and we understand that she was the face, but people have been complaining about it since it's been conceived. Like, I've always heard people say, complained about it. So it's one of those things where they're like, we have to move on. We can't stay here. Just because we take her name off doesn't mean we're going to erase the history. You can still find, it's not like the internet going to go away. It's not like you can't Google it. Like, you know, it's not like it's quote unquote erased nowadays. Years ago, I could see you saying that because you didn't have the technology and the things to preserve history like you do now. Mm-hmm. So I could see them saying, okay, here's a lump sum of money. Mm-hmm. Because we're getting ready to discontinue, or either do something where you're still working with them, or you're still giving to that town or that community. Like, they can come up with something to appease the family, but it, in my opinion, it still needs to go. It doesn't, just because it's connected to your family and it has a, and you feel like you don't want to lose that tradition, does not mean that the other black people are like, but you do know stereotypes.
Right. Okay. All right. What about you, Jamel?
Man, I think this one, I mean, this one is like 100 for me, because I know that we've all seen what happens in these situations is that people use this argument, because it's coming from black people, to undermine other arguments and progress that we're trying to make. So while I'm sensitive to what her family is feeling, at the same time, I just kind of feel like it's kind of dangerous to say that and to just be, and to just be okay with them using this in this way. Now, she played this character for 23 years. Mm. The original Aunt Jemima is a descendant of a slave.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just like, and they specifically went, you know, the brothers that started.
Uh-oh, Jamel froze a little bit. That shit, oh wait.
Oh.
Hold on, I hear you now. You froze on the screen.
Mm. No, I mean, the origination of this, I think, should encourage.
Hey, Jamel, do me a favor. Refresh real quick. That should fix it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just refresh real quick. I'm sorry, we had a little interruption, but back to your answer though, Jamel. I'm sorry.
So my answer was that I think that bothered me a lot because it came from black people, right? Is that so? And that's going to be an argument used going forward when this comes up again with other kind of racist pieces of memorabilia. And as I mentioned before, like it sound, you could easily, this is the argument that people are making to try to uphold Confederate statues. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's like an 100 for me.
All right. Yeah. And me personally, I give it like a 50, cause I do think they may genuinely feel that way as black, like that family might feel mm-hmm. that way, but I mean, it's like when you at a party and that one person like, but I just feel like we could separate the art from the artist and play the R. Kelly. Like, not at the party. Mm-mm. Like, in your
not
car.
Here.
In your car. You can do what your you want to in your time. Car. But at the party, some people not feeling this, and I won't have no fight at my party, okay? So, no, you don't get to. That's how I feel with them. Like, I see your confliction and all that stuff, but it's just not for everyone to take on, you know? So, too bad for them. Now, if the brand is woke, they should flip on the black people and be like, you racist, okay? Because we ready to get rid of this. We just want to move on, sister. I don't know why y'all trying to hold us back. That black capitalism is not going to save us. And they should flip it. And then we have to give them credit. All right, we got one more. This is a breaking news fucking with black people, okay? This literally just happened when we lost connection with Jamel, okay? FBI is saying, no crime in Bubba Wallace case. News have been in the garage since 2019. The FBI.
Ah, what did do test the fabric?
A noose was just randomly in Bubba Wallace's garage.
Hey, you know, they say if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So they just keep a noose on hand, you know, just in case one of them act up.
It's still a problem. It's been in there for a while.
It's the company noose, you know.
Who just has a backup noose? Is this like batteries? Do you just keep one on deck?
I know they're walking around. You got an extra noose? I lost mine.
Yeah. Hey, Randy.
What is this?
Randy, one of them's getting uppity back here. Can you pass me the noose? Thank you. I'll be right back. Put this around the coffee machine. The FBI says the noose found in Bubba Wallace's garage stall at Talladega had been there since 2019, and they were determined that no crime was committed. The FBI, along with U.S. Attorney J.E. Town, just explained the situation. On Monday, 15 special agents from the FBI conducted numerous interviews regarding the situation at Talladega Super Speedway. After a thorough review of the facts and the evidence surrounding this event, we have concluded that no federal crime was committed. The FBI learned the garage number 4, where the noose was found, was assigned to Bubba Wallace last week. The investigation also revealed evidence, including authentic video confirmed by NASCAR, that the noose found in the garage number 4 was in that garage as early as October 2019. Although the noose is now known to have been in the garage number 4 in 2019, nobody could have known Mr. Wallace would be assigned that garage last week. The decision not to pursue federal charges is proper. After reviewing all the available facts and all available federal laws, we offer our thanks to NASCAR, Mr. Wallace, and everyone who cooperated with this investigation.
A random news. Lord, I tell you what, though, this is not going to be... I see Jussie Smollett starting to trend again.
Oh, like, man.
This is already bad enough the first time, but it's like...
Yeah, I mean, his... I feel like his isn't as bad as Jussie's with the, you know...
Oh, no, because one, he's not the one who did it.
Right.
But there was a lot of people who so wanted this not to be true that they're going to be like, see, it was just randomly there. It's like, it wasn't random news.
Why is a noose hanging in a garage for months? Why is it just there?
It doesn't even make any sense.
What was it doing there in the first place? Who thought it was cool in October? You know what I mean? Like, a noose is not even the Confederate flag. You can't even hide behind the noose's meaning. Like, with Confederate flag, they got all this, like, lies and history they could throw up at you. No, no, it's not about that. State rights. But then with the noose, is like, what is this for? Hanging black people, really. I mean,
like, there's no other purpose I know of, like, what do you use a noose for? Now, granted, I ain't country, so it might be some use that I am not familiar with.
It was October. I bet they're going to say Halloween. I bet they're just hanging decorations. Karen, you know how you decorate with nooses all the time. Karen, 0 to 100.
For me, it gets 100 just for the simple fact that regardless of when he was assigned it, for the fact that it was there is a problem in the first place, which means the racism has been happening already. And they was like, premeditated racism. Like, we was like, we gonna put it in here in case somebody black come in here.
If person ever shows up.
Yeah, in case they ever show up, they will know. 3 years later, 4 years later, we meant this. This racism will never die.
Well, 2019, so technically someone could have known it was the one with the noose in there before they assigned it to him, technically. And then just when they got interviewed, be like, nah, I don't know. Oh, it's a noose in there?
And for me, the problem is that this probably means this was known. You know what I'm saying? It's not like this was a secret. Like, if y'all went through videotapes and video cameras and all that stuff, y'all seen it. And odds are you don't want to press charges against people. So you're like, because we don't want to press charges, this is the quote unquote excuse that we give.
All right. What about you, Jamel?
I mean, this is like 100 for me too, because ultimately this is going to give way too many people who are intent and insistent on arguing against racism, arguing as if racism not just doesn't exist, but they love to take these examples to try to belittle black people who have experienced real racism, of which Bubba Wallace has in this league, regardless of this noose incident or not. And so I really feel bad for him, because that show of solidarity that we saw with the drivers and with Richard Petty and everybody, everything that happened in NASCAR, is going to give people who were so comfortable with their ignorance even more comfort in that ignorance. So it's just like, you know, I don't wish for Bubba Wallace to be terrorized, but I just hope this incident doesn't come back on him somehow. And people looking at him like, oh, you made this up, or, you know, this was that you made a big deal out of nothing. We're not as racist as we think. Yes, NASCAR, you are as racist as we all know you are.
Come on.
So this gives them a handy made excuse. And that's what really does fuck with me.
Yeah, I feel the same too. Like, cause it is going to feed into the back and forth over it. And there really shouldn't be any back and forth. I mean, the Confederate flag was enough, to be honest, because the fact that Black Lives Matter is antithetical to the existence of the Confederate flag says a lot about what that Confederate flag stands for. Like, you can't avoid it. If the sport says we should take down the Confederate flags, we believe Black Lives Matter, and then the fans show up with Confederate flags. Well, what are you really showing up to say? What's your statement? Right. So yeah, it's a permanent 100 Dracars. So but this is progress in NASCAR. This is what it's going to take. You got to fight tooth and nail. Let's get into our last game. It's time to play some, we've all called out racism, okay? Mm-hmm. But now it's time for us to be racist and playing Guess the Race.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time to play Guess the Race, the game where we go all around the world, find different articles that involve crimes and all kinds of stuff, and then we guess the race of the people involved. And of course, our two contestants today are Jamel Hill from the Unbothered Podcast and Karen, and the chat room plays along as well, and they are all racist. All right, let's get into the first article. An angry Popeyes customer pulls a gun in Martinez, said his sandwich wasn't made correctly. An angry Popeyes customer.
he was hot because the spices took 15 minutes.
I mean, listen,
it's all been there.
It's all it's a wait. I'm not saying I would have did it, but I understand. Walter Smith.
He probably was black.
Okay. Jamel coming off the top rope early. Okay, I was gonna give you the details. Okay, Walter Smith, 24, charged Friday with simple assault and carrying a concealed weapon.
Oh, ain't his name Walter?
Walter Smith. Mm-hmm. The suspect left the Martinez restaurant after getting his order last Tuesday, and then he returned to complain that his sandwich wasn't made correctly. An employee was talking to the man when he reached over the counter and pulled her by the shirt.
Oh.
He then threatened to shoot her in the face. Not social distancing.
Well, actually, now that I hear these details, okay.
The suspect pulled a black pistol from his pants and stood there arguing with the gun in his hand. He then left the restaurant in a gray Kia Soul. Now, there's no
a gray what?
Kia Soul. Now, there's no footage of whether he held the gun sideways or not, so can't give you that.
I'm gonna retract this one. Okay. Now, what state was this in?
This is in Augusta, Georgia.
Oh, Augusta?
Yeah, Augusta. Mm-hmm. And there's one more paragraph. The sheriff's office published a surveillance image photo of the suspect on Facebook. The man's grandmother reportedly told her son he was on social media and needed to surrender, so he did. All right. Walter Smith, guess the race.
He's white.
I'm going to go black.
All right. Let's check the chat room and see what these ignorant people have to say. Vanilla Icy White, Downtown Addies. Somebody watch Sherman Showcase. Ben Carson pointed that black man in the direction of the cashier. Ben Carson pointed that black man in the direction of the cashier, because Ben Carson had this story where he said he was in a Popeyes that got robbed, and he pointed the person to the cashier. He called it the Popeyes establishment, which is how I knew he was lying. A Spades player who sleeps with his door closed at night. Nigga, my chicken wasn't fried right, Negro. I want a haircut and a burger white. Chitty chitty bang bang black, black black, vanilla white bean. Walter, he fixed your fuel pump for $50 at a 12 pack black. Georgia or Maine? I think Georgia. He brandished a gun and left alive white. Wanted the spicy with the Cajun sparkles, extra pickles is a nigga. You had me at Popeye's black. The grandma got involved, nigga. White, white, black with like them spices. Shaking my head, grandma, Popeye's black. They let you live white. Y'all are all over the place. Nigga, black, 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 white. He didn't unlock his bedroom door this morning for this fucked up sandwich. Oh, why are you talking about me? I feel attacked. black like pistol in his waistband, will whoop you for watered down watermelon too. Black grandma turned him in. Plasco Burris, black gum, black task. All right, the correct answer is Jamel went white, Karen went black. Mm-hmm. Karen, you got it correct. And Jamel lost.
Grandma turned him in. It's like, who black grandma gonna turn him in?
Well, she technically called his daddy and told his daddy to tell his son to turn him in.
Yeah, that was the part that confused me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you gonna grab like an employee and you don't get your ass whooped.
Yeah,
that was tough. That was a tough one, because at first I was like, Popeye's black.
The waistband that got me, because you know, if they'd have said he pulled it out his holster, I'd have said white.
That's a good point. You gotta, a lot of times your gut instinct is the original instinct to go with. Now I gotta boo you, Jamel, cause that's what happens to the losers on this song.
So wait, that's his mugshot?
The one on the right, the one on the left is him in the Popeyes before he was about to snatch somebody up. And then the one on the right is him in the mugshot.
So he 24?
That's what they say, right?
He looks 44. You bullshit.
Jamel, what did you say? We done let it go in the Rona. Okay. He let it go.
He gave the ghost up completely.
Like, this is what happened. All right. He's had a hard 24. Okay. Let's go to the next one. A woman has been charged with carjacking assault after a Radford incident. A New York woman was arrested for carjacking Friday in Radford after allegedly attempting to steal a rental vehicle. According to a news release issued Tuesday by the police, Abigail C. Klink, 23, of New Freedom, New York, attempted to rent a vehicle after her own vehicle broke down, but her rental application was declined. A man who worked at the rental company in Radford told officers that he gave a ride to Klink and that during the ride, she climbed over the vehicle's center console, put the vehicle in park, hit him twice in the head with her fist. Man said he got out of the vehicle and then Klink drove off. He also reported that his phone was damaged during the incident. Police were called about 4 p.m. Friday and found her at her broken down vehicle. She was charged with carjacking, grand larceny of a vehicle, destruction of property, and assault and battery, and she was taken to the New River Valley Regional Jail. The rental vehicle was returned to its owner and the rental company employee treated by medics at the scene, the news release has said. Guess the race of Abigail C. Klink.
She white.
I'm going white too.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe.
And her name is Abigail.
White. Ain't no black Abigail ever.
Oh no.
I was like, I mean, I was like, a white Abigail, I mean, a black Abigail, I don't think so.
I was trying to think of a famous one too. I couldn't even think of one. Damn. Aww. Abigail White is Snow White. I have a black husband, white. I thought this was American Sovereign Citizen White. She honky. What? That's a new one. Carjack with the privilege white. One who would go into Popeyes from the first story and ask for no seasoning on her chicken.
Oh no.
She don't want that spicy. Asked to speak to manager, rentals Karen, Taylor Swift white, carjacking Karen, Abigail is white, and the employee is lying about what happened. Karen don't accept no white. Why? Everyone went white on this, okay? We had a white out officially, and you know what, guys? You're all right. She's white.
Yeah.
Jamel is officially on the board with the Abigail pull, and
she
that is her.
Is like Abigail that would steal a car and go on the run after.
She don't look sorry. She don't look sorry in the first. Like, she's
not at all.
She's like, I whooped his ass. Yes, I did. Okay.
Exactly.
I do it again. How you gonna decline my credit? Okay. Have you heard? All right. Let's go to the bonus round.
How bad your credit gotta be in that situation?
Let's go to the bonus round because Jamel's 1-for-1. Karen is 2-2. But let's see how we go in the bonus round where everything's double the points, double the race.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race in the bonus round. So far, Jamel is 1-1 and Karen is 2-0. But let's see how we fare in the bonus round. All right. This one's for all the marbles, y'all.
Yep.
Taking of baby clothes, baby crib leads to woman's arrest.
Okay.
A Poinsett County woman is facing an aggravated robbery charge after Monette police say she and four other people kicked in a door, vandalized a house, and took baby clothes, a baby crib, and other clothing. And that's why you gotta lock the bedroom door right there. Emily Renee Clardy, 20, of Truman, was arrested on suspicion of aggravated robbery and criminal mischief first degree in the case. According to a probable cause affidavit in the case, Monette police went to the home around 11:40 p.m. March 30th after a residential burglary. Officer said a door had been kicked in with the living room and kitchen vandalized. Several pieces of furniture were also damaged, while an iPhone was smashed and a round of a .22 caliber was found in the floor between the living room and the kitchen. The victim told police she heard a gunshot followed by five people running inside the house. Suspect was on top of the victim. The other ran through the house, knocking over furniture to get to the back southeast bedroom and grabbed several bags of baby clothes, a baby crib, and clothes belonging to the suspect. Police also said the victim told police she heard the suspects talk about her. The victim advised during the attack she overheard both girls asking the three men, what were we going to do with the victim? And the victim advised, they replied, let's just leave her. We broke her phone. She can't call the police, so let's leave her before they show up. Man, they wanted the police to know everything. They were very thorough. a $25,000 bond was set for Wednesday for Clardy, who will be arraigned July 27th in circuit court. Like, how'd they end that crime? Let's go back to the hideout. 7521 Larry Road. Let's go ahead and get over there. All right. Guess the race of the one they caught. Emily Renee Clardy. Karen?
Black.
Yeah, black.
Black.
Okay.
She because one, she ran up in there with multiple people, right? She was like, she's like, look, we're going to run up in this crib. Her middle name is Renee, even though I know a lot of people like, but what about the fact her name is Emily? I'm like, yeah, but I bet you everybody around the way call her Renee, though.
Okay. The chat room says, the hand that robs the cradle, white. White, she been there before, and we don't let people in our house. Bond too low, honky-tonk white women. Oh. Stole some baby clothes. The bond too low, kicking the door, I got a story to tell, black.
All right, you kicked in the door.
I'm not calling this shit over, white. Dumbass white, Snow White, black white, meth dealer white. Didn't feel like making registry at Walmart white.
Oh, no.
Her nickname is Nae Nae Black. White, this would have been a great episode of Roseanne White. I'm black, y'all. I'm black, y'all. I'm blackity black, y'all. White girl with a black baby daddy and black accomplices. That's a twist. That's a twist, Miss Smart.
Okay.
Miss Smart is from Detroit. She be knowing. Batman villain white. She OJ'd that black. Bliggity, I'm going white. Her grandmother will be raising her baby. Part of the 53%. Sounds like a rap interlude. Black Sons of Anarchy white. Black back of Forest Whitaker's neck. I got a black baby daddy. All right, the correct answer is you guys both went black, if I'm correct, right? If I'm correct. Mm-hmm. And you guys both missed it. She's white.
What? I didn't see this. Plot twist. I demand a recount.
And some of y'all got it right. I don't know how, but... These were some tricky ones tonight, okay?
Yeah, that's hard. That was a hard one because it was on one hand, it was like Emily, then it was like Arkansas.
I do kind of feel like Miss Smart was onto something when she said black baby daddy and accomplices.
Yeah,
Some about that crime felt a little black, but who am I?
In the door thing, she was a little too gangster coming up in there.
Right.
And then it was a very specific...
Mm-hmm.
Right, she's like, I need some baby clothes, and I was like, yeah, because I can see it's like not a necessity.
Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like a crime of anyway. Let's get to the final thing, sword ratchetness.
Longest intro ever.
He's dead. All right, sword ratcheting. Let's see what's happening with swords today, guys. A man armed with a sword has been arrested a few hundred yards away from West Hove Branch of Sainsbury's in Old Shoreham Road. The man, who was held at about 10 a.m., was described as a dresser in body armor. He is detained. What? Police received a report of a man possessing a sword and wearing body armor close to the junction. Why was he wearing armor? So officers responded and the suspect was sleepily detained, then taken to a hospital as a precaution. They cordoned off some land. Superintendent Rachel Sweeney says, I'd like to reassure the community that this was an isolated incident. I mean, how the fuck could it not? Was he gonna meet for a battle? Was Braveheart about to start? Of course it's an isolated incident. There's never been a group of motherfuckers with swords. Yep. It's one.
Yeah, where are you going? I'm like, where are you going, man?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we believe that should be regulations on swords. So yeah. That's why we cover this every episode.
We don't regulate guns, but before we can even get to guns, what about swords? You just pick them up at random. We don't have any good sword laws. And it's because it leads to stuff like this man walking around with body armor in the middle of the damn day and a sword hanging out. So they took him to the hospital, not jail. And then they asked for anyone with information about the incident to call. I think y'all have enough information. He got body armor and a sword. Take him to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go.
Like, what?
we need to investigate this one, okay? It's like bringing the FBI. We got to figure out the people that found the news, bring them into this one. Jamel, thank you so much for being here.
You,
we really had a great time.
Indeed.
Y'all are such a great guest. Make sure y'all check out Jamel. You can find her Unbothered on Spotify. Check it out. I listen to it all the time. Mm-hmm. And new TV show about to be coming out. Do y'all have a name for it? Have you named it yet?
We have a working title, but I'll keep that.
No problem. Be on the lookout for Carrie and Jamel's show, okay? It's going to be black people talking about black stuff, black women giving opinions, and we need that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all. We'll be back tomorrow. Our guest will be Justin, and until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.